Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll get an update from the Hastings Veterans Home, learn about another Yellow Ribbon company, and visit with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
More than 13,000 men and women serve in the Minnesota National Guard. But of that number, only about 2,000 serve full-time, leaving the remaining 11,000 in need of civilian employers. In the month of August, we would like to recognize all the great companies who employ our soldiers and airmen. Your support, sacrifice, and accommodation to our National Guard mission and training schedules has not gone unnoticed. Employer support allows our service members to remain focused on our important missions without worrying about how they will support themselves when they return home. On behalf of the Minnesota National Guard, I want to thank all of our military employers for their support, especially those who participate in our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon initiative.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Mike Anderson is the administrator for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Domiciliary Program located in Hastings in Minneapolis. He's had that position for about a year. And Mike, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
Mike, I think we had you on the show several days after you started a year ago, and you were pretty excited about the experience. Have you settled in?
Yeah, we've settled in. It's been a good year getting to know all the veterans, both locations and the team. It's been a wonderful year.
Now, you came to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs with some pretty heavy experience in you oversaw some skilled nursing homes, assisted living facilities, independent living, and a lot of other things. You were pretty well trained, pretty well armed when you came in.
Yeah, I was fortunate to have a great beginning of my career where I oversaw assisted living, skilled nursing homes, adult daycare, home care, mental health, chemical dependency, inpatient treatment facilities, pharmacies, clinics at single site and multi-site. So it was a great start out in rural Minnesota, but excited to be down here in the Twin Cities now.
All right, Mike, we want to talk a little bit about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs oversees some veterans homes around the state. But the one in Hastings is really different from all the rest, isn't it?
Yeah, the domiciliary program that we have is different. We have a location in both Hastings and Minneapolis where we provide a wide variety of services for veterans suffering from chemical dependency, mental health, and different effects of aging. And we use some of our specialty services looking at sobriety maintenance, vocational rehab services, mental health, and educational services to help support those veterans depending on what their needs are.
Now, Mike, and most of the rest of the veterans' homes, we have veterans in there that that need help and can't necessarily take care of themselves too well. But in Hastings, you've got some young veterans, old veterans, but they move around. They do things. They go off campus. Tell us what makes you different from the other homes and who's eligible.
Right now, our population ages from the age of 39 to 90. And some veterans have vehicles, they work off campus, they kind of set their own schedule, and they check in with us about once a day to make sure everything's going well. We have other veterans who have additional needs where we support them more frequently through medication management, counseling services, and other supports to coordinate their care needs. So really looking at those veterans who have some sort of need or assistance, something missing that we can help fill that gap to make them live as successful and independent life as they can.
So I'm trying to think, if we've got lots of veterans, hundreds of thousands of them around Minnesota, what veteran, what type of veteran would be interested in moving into or coming down to Hastings?
It would be a veteran who's looking at if they have some financial issues, if they have need help with their medications, some assistance in their care coordination. We do have an on-site clinic with a nurse practitioner who provides that primary care on-site with multiple different effects of aging. We coordinate that care with the VA or their independent providers to make sure that they're getting the best care. Somebody who may have chemical dependency issues where we work in our sober environment to help maintain that sobriety so they can continue to get what they need, work on job education skills, life skills, so then they can also move back out and live successfully in the community.
So it might be just to move in temporarily and get adjusted?
Yeah, kind of get in, get set up, get everything you need, whether it's through your health, social life, or financial life, and kind of get the pieces that you need and the skills to get back out on your own and live successfully out there.
So would this be a situation where maybe you're getting some care at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and you've got some issues and maybe they make a referral and say, why don't you go down to Hastings for 6 months or 3 months, something like that, and get adjusted, and then maybe we can work you back into normal society and go from there? Is that something about how it works?
Yeah, we work with the Minneapolis VA very closely and their social work team to identify those veterans that would benefit. And, you know, some veterans, their plan is to get back out into the community, and other veterans, it sets up very well to make it their home for the rest of their life. So we kind of have a wide variety of veterans that we work with, kind of finding that medical need or that social need that they have where something's missing. And it's a great community where we have a lot of veterans that come together and bond, and they really develop some great relationships. To have some of that camaraderie is also a great benefit.
We're speaking with Mike Anderson, the administrator of the Hastings Veterans Home on Minnesota Military Radio. Mike, last time you were on, we were talking about the fact that the Hastings Veterans Home isn't just a facility, it's a campus. You've got a large piece of land and lots to offer.
Yeah, we have quite a few different buildings on campus. We have our main campus that has our dining hall and some of the resident rooms and our administrative setup with the clinic in there. Rec therapy, everything designed to support people. We also have a building just across the road where the veterans live a little bit more independently down there. We have a wood shop that's in there connected to a rec room. So we have a whole bunch of different pinball machines, skee ball, pool tables, dartboard right next to the wood shop. So they can work on the crafts, have a job, get paid for that, and have a little downtime.
And a little area to walk around. You've got some walking paths and a pretty good piece of land.
Yeah, it's a beautiful location right on the Vermilion River. So there's a bunch of fishing and outdoor activities and a bunch of trails. We're right next to some ballparks so people can catch some games. And it's just it's a really beautiful campus with a lot of beautiful natural scenery.
Boy, you're making me sound like maybe I want to move in there next morning, but I don't think my wife would appreciate that. So we'll skip that for now. So, Mike, how many veterans can you handle, and do you have space available?
Our capacity is 195, and we do have space available in our Minneapolis campus and in our Hastings campus. Both have a little something different to offer. When the Hastings campus is more of that natural scenery and relaxed environment. In Minneapolis, there's a lot of easy connections to the transit lines right next to the Minneapolis VA. So they both work really well. So we do have openings and looking how we can continue to meet veterans' needs.
So you have what you call a domiciliary building on the Minneapolis Veteran Home campus that's right by the river.
We do, overlooking the Mississippi. It's a beautiful building right at the end, and it connects really closely with shuttles to the VA and also a short bike ride or walk to get on the light rail and Metro bus system that many of our veterans utilize frequently.
So is that over by near the adult daycare center for veterans on that campus?
Yep, building 16 is right down there.
All right, that's a great place, too. We've had them on the show, and they've got some heavy following down there, and they love that place. So you get a chance to go over and visit once in a while.
Yeah, we go over. It's a really great program for the veterans who just need a little break and get some activity and socialization. So we're very fortunate through MDVA that we have so many great programs.
So on the Minneapolis home campus, do you take care of the same type of veterans as Hastings then?
Yep, it's all one program, just two sites. So we offer the same services, have the same programs that we offer. It's just a variation of the location.
So if a veteran is listening to our show today and they're hearing about the Hastings campus and, of course, your facility in Minneapolis, if they're interested in it, how do they contact you? How do they get a referral to your office?
Well, it's always connecting with our Veterans Service County officer, working through a social worker at the Minneapolis VA, or going online to look at minnesotaveteran.org to look at the MDVA website and the Hastings page, or you can give us a call directly at 651-539-2500.
So like everything else veteran-related in Minnesota, the real place to start is your county veteran service officer.
That is. They're a great resource for everyone.
And we were up in Nisswa last week and did a show from their fall conference and talked about all the things they participate in, like transportation and cooperate with the VA Medical Center. And, of course, they do a lot of work with you and I'm sure the other homes as well. So for our listeners, Go visit your county veteran service officer, bring your discharge certificate, or if you can't find it, go see them. They'll help you find it. And then if you need anything veteran related, if you need a claim, they'll help you with that. And if you need, if you think the Hastings home might be a place for you to work some things out and get better, they can get your referral in there and you can meet Mike and go down and see that campus and you'll take care of those guys and gals quite well. Now, do you have a mix of men and women?
Yeah, we do. We have men and women at both campuses. So it's a very diverse population at each area with the ages and genders that we have. So there's always somebody to connect with.
Very good, Mike. When we come back, we're going to talk about the DOMS new Three Paths program. And, of course, DOMS stands for domiciliary, which is a hard word for me to say, so I'm glad we can say DOMS program. So we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Mike Anderson from the Hastings Veterans Home about the DOMS new Three Paths program. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Mike Anderson, who is the administrator for the Minneapolis Department of Veterans Affairs domiciliary program located in Hastings and Minneapolis. And Mike, we decided we don't have to say domiciliary program anymore. We can call it DOMS. You good with that?
DOMS is what we use around the campus.
Very good. That's easier to say. And we've been talking about the Hastings home, which is a great facility and a nice campus down in Hastings. And also you've got another facility on the Minneapolis Veterans Home campus. And it's a special facility for veterans that need some assistance but don't necessarily need full-time care all day and all night.
Yeah, really what we look at is veterans who don't have an activities of daily living need. So all these veterans are independent. They're able to walk around, get to the dining room, get down to the nurse's station, and can get around the campus on their own without any assistance. So that's really the big difference between us and a skilled nursing home.
And they might need some help with their medications, or they might need some help with sobriety and some other issues, and you've got experts that can help with those things.
Yeah, we got experts with the full-time nurse practitioner on staff, working with our great nursing team to coordinate their care, whether it is a small daily need, needing a Tylenol aspirin, or something more complex, you know, managing diabetes and other ongoing chronic diseases.
So I'm reading here, but Hastings can provide a variety of services for veterans suffering from chemical dependency, mental health illnesses, dual disorders, and or the debilitating effects of aging, and some other special services, including sobriety, vocational rehabilitation, mental health services, and education services. And you've been doing that. That home was established in 1978, so I've been helping veterans for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a really great thing. With our sobriety support, we're here to support veterans with their sobriety management needs, to get them help when needed, and to help maintain a sober environment, and really kind of encompassing them with what we have internally with a chemical dependency counselor and also working with the VA. Our vocational rehab program is designed to support veterans in achieving their highest level of employment. Our veterans come to our home for many different mental, physical, and chemical health challenges. So therefore, we have to offer a variety of programs. So we have an in-house work therapy program, community training, contracted employment, competitive employment, all to look to support the individual goals that each veteran has.
We've got a lot of ways to help our veterans.
We do.
Mike, I know you've got a new program now. It's called the DOMS Three Paths Program. Can you tell us about that? What's that all about?
Yeah, our team has spent a lot of time over the last year to define exactly what we want our program to be. There are 45 other state-operated DOMS programs throughout the country, and they all have a little bit of a different focus. So our job, after much research involving conversations with veterans, team members, leadership, and other industry leaders, to kind of set a new direction, where we are a supportive environment that fosters a stable, healthy, and meaningful life for veterans. We are one domiciliary program set in two beautiful locations with three different care paths. The three care paths that we have are set up to serve the individual needs of the veterans who all have a diverse set of needs. The first one is our Earth Path, to ensure that all veterans who are aging in place and want to make this their home get the most out of life, while we work with them to coordinate the next milestones in their life and to find that daily meaning each day. Our Fire Path is set up in a structured program to assist veterans' goals for living successfully in the community. It's really where we work with our vocational rehab team, independent specialists, our social workers, to find all the tools that they need and what help and support they need to live successfully in their own apartment or home or something in the community.
So is this like outpatient care in that case?
No, it's all in pay, all in house. So then we work with them to find what they need, whether it's financial support, education, getting them certificates and training that they need to get a job that will help them work with their benefits to maintain a good income and have a solid life to make sure they can provide the groceries and support, and working with their veteran county service officer on all the different resources that they have, so they are set up and good to go when they do move back into the community.
So they actually live at the Hastings home, but they go outside for work and jobs, and if they need some counseling of some kind, they can get that right there on your campus.
Yep, they live in home with us, and we help get all the meals and support that they need, and then as they get their job, sometimes they'll start working in our in-house work therapy program, get some training, get used to working again, go get some training certification, get competitive employment in the community, get up to working 40 hours a week or whatever works for them, and then we work with them to find an apartment, set up banking, get everything going so they can live in the community long term.
Get them back on their feet on their own with their independence, and I'm sure occasionally one of them might come back and say, I need a little help with something. How can I get it? And you'll take care of that too.
Yeah, we'll check in and make sure we connect them with everyone that they need.
Oh, I interrupted you. You were on your way to the third path.
Yes, that's our water path, where we ensure that all veterans are receiving customized care to their individual progressing goals. So this is working with their mental health team, chemical dependency counselors, to find whatever they need, whether it's medication management, support, different counseling groups, so they can work past their mental and chemical health needs and hopefully evolve into either the earth path, where they want to choose to make the DOMS program their home, or into the fire path, where we can get them back into the community after, you know, we've helped them through whatever tough life event that they've had.
Now, Mike, you said when we first started talking about the earth path, we were talking about some veterans that are aging. Imagine there's some veterans out there that are independent and living on their own, and they're getting a little older and they're getting a little sicker, and they're worried about making it through day-to-day life. Is that where the option opens up for them to move onto the campus and get the help as they need it?
Yeah, that's a great option, where we have a lot of veterans come in and we kind of help them with medication management. We do some care coordination, so we work with our medical providers and the providers at the VA to make sure that they're receiving all the care they need, getting the annual physicals, check-ins that they want. And as they continue to need more, we work with them on their service plan to add the different support services that they need so they can remain as independent as possible and have little camaraderie and have somebody else do the cooking.
And Mike, we've talked about you work closely with the Minneapolis VA Hospital and with the County Veteran Service Officers. Does this new program, the Three Paths program, partner with other community resources?
Yeah, I think it's also going to tie into working more with the Veteran Service County Officers, because it's going to help us connect them back to those people and make sure that that Veterans County Service Officer can provide them with what they want. And we work with many great local employers and veteran service organizations as well.
And Mike, I understand you've got an open house coming up on October 1st, right around the corner.
Yeah, we have a great event down at our Hastings home. From 12 to 2, we're going to be having an open house for the DOM veterans, community resources, healthcare professionals, and veteran service organizations, and the public, so they can explore the three new paths that we have and to connect with other veteran-focused community resources. At 2 o'clock, we welcome keynote speaker John Creasel. He's an Iraqi war veteran, award-winning author, member of the House of Representatives, Anoka County Veteran Service Officer, and KFAN Sports Radio contributor, and we really look forward to the message that he's going to provide to the veterans.
Well, he's been around, and as you know, you're in the News Talk studio right across this wall. He's been over in the fan studio quite often.
Yeah, we're really excited to have him down. He has a great message.
So once again, that's October 1st, and what were the times?
From 12 to 2, we'll have the open house, and then from 2 to 3, we'll be listening to John speak.
All right, and you'll be able to, anybody that's interested in the Hastings home and the DOMS program, they can come down and they can see you and your staff, and you'll show them around.
Yes, we're really excited to have everyone come out and take part in this great event. We're really excited about it.
Very good. Now, Mike, if we have a veteran who would benefit from your DOMS program, where do they get more information? How do they contact you if they can't make it on October 1st down at Hastings?
Yeah, go to minnesotaveteran.org and look on the MDVA website, or give us a call directly at 651-539-2500, and we'll help answer any questions you have and see if it's the right fit.
Very good, Mike. We got about a minute left. Now that you're a year into being the administrator of the Hastings program, what do you think? Pretty good job?
Yeah, it's a great job. Working with a lot of great teams, I've met some fantastic veterans who've shared many great stories with me and kind of welcomed me in, and it's wonderful each morning to go down to Daniel's coffee shop that we have and get a cup of coffee and see what the latest headlines are around the home.
And you're telling me some of these veterans can tell some stories.
They got some stories, and they give me a hard time, and it makes it quite wonderful every day going to work. I enjoy it every day.
They'll give it to you, and you give it back.
Yeah, it's pretty fun give and take.
All right, we just got a few seconds left. Tell us one more time, October 1st, open house, Hastings Veterans Home.
From 12 to 3, we'll be there down at 1200 18th Street in Hastings. We look forward to everyone coming out. We have a great open house, exploring our three different paths, the care that we have, and a wonderful keynote speaker in John Creasel. It's going to be a great afternoon.
Mike, sounds like you're doing some great work down there. Keep it taking good care of our veterans, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
This is Mike Anderson, the administrator of the Minnesota Veterans Home in Hastings on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet another Yellow Ribbon company, but first it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
The third Friday of September each year is Minnesota's recognition of the courage and sacrifices of the state's prisoners of war and missing in action. The POW MIA Recognition Day ensures that the words "you are not forgotten" will endure. More than 500,000 Americans have been captured and interned as prisoners of war since the American Revolution. Prisoners of war have bravely endured the loss of very freedom that they fought to defend at the hands of their captors. Let us vow to never forget the sacrifices of our prisoners of war and their families have made. Their courageous efforts have helped build the strong foundation we have today, which continues to drive us forward. On this day, Minnesota will echo the creed inscribed on the black and white flags that fly in honor of America's prisoners of war and missing in action. And we renew our promise to our heroes that you are not forgotten. All gave some, and some gave all.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is our Yellow Ribbon lady, and she's probably going to get me in trouble for that, but Annette Kuiper is the Director of Military Outreach for the Department of Military Affairs, State of Minnesota. Welcome back to the show, Annette.
Thank you, Tom.
You've been busy. I know you're out there collecting up more and more Yellow Ribbon companies, and what are we up to?
We're up to our 66th Yellow Ribbon company.
You burned up another car running around the state, didn't you?
Yes, I have. And our Minnesota organizations have done a wonderful job with helping us with military support.
And we heard on a show a little while ago that Best Buy Company is a Yellow Ribbon company, and they were the host of the Women's Outreach or Women's Leadership Forum. And what great partners some of these companies become.
Absolutely. They've been wonderful partners to our military and our military leadership throughout the entire state.
Now, who did you bring with us today?
So today we have our 66th Yellow Ribbon Company of Ecolab, and I'm very excited to have them on board as partners throughout our state. And Lisa Albright is here today. She's an HR manager, as well as Rachel Burkoff, who is the HR specialist, senior representative. And they are here today to tell us a little bit about all the good things that Ecolab is doing as our latest Yellow Ribbon Company.
Ladies, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Lisa, I understand you took the lead in the process of becoming Yellow Ribbon for Ecolab.
I have taken the lead.
So you spent a lot of time with Annette.
I have spent a lot of time with Annette, and she's a great partner. We've appreciated the support.
Very good, very good. Now, how long did that take you to go through all of that?
We've been working on this for about a year now.
About a year, and on July 22nd, you were proclaimed as our 66th Yellow Ribbon Company here in Minnesota. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It was a very exciting time.
I want to see who your partner is here. It's Rachel Burkoff. Rachel, I understand you served in the Army.
That's right. I served in the Army, yep.
And you went to the United States Military Academy?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so I can give you a little bit of my background. I grew up in a military family as well, so my dad was in the Army for about 20 years, and my sister and I followed in his footsteps and went to the academy, and I graduated in 2011 and immediately commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Army, and spent a little over 5 years as a logistics officer and supported Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan from 2012 to 13. So that's a little bit of my background there.
Very good. Now, how did you get to Ecolab?
Right. So after I served my time in the military, I went to grad school and immediately came to Ecolab right after. Today is actually my 1 year anniversary with Ecolab. So very excited for the opportunity to be with this wonderful company who's supporting our veterans and, you know, having to work with our military employee resource group is helping me keep that connection from the military to my civilian life alive and well and strong.
So when you heard Ecolab was going to go to be a Yellow Ribbon company, did you volunteer to be part of the process?
I sure did. Actually, Lisa and I are both co-leads for the community outreach sub-team of our military employee resource group. So I've had a little bit of a hand in it as well, and she's a fantastic partner.
Lisa, Ecolab. We've all heard of Ecolab, those of us that have lived in Minnesota our whole lives, but can you tell us a little bit about the company?
Yeah, so we're a St. Paul-based company. We have 49,000 associates worldwide, and we really specialize in water, hygiene, and energy technologies that help protect people and vital resources. So with everything that's going on in the world, we feel like we're in a good place. And some of our key customers, especially here in the Twin Cities, are General Mills and Cargill and Target and U.S. Bank.
They all sound like Yellow Ribbon companies to me. So
we're in good company.
Have you had an opportunity to see or learn about the twice a year annual conferences where the Yellow Ribbon companies come together?
Our first one is in September.
So you're looking forward to meeting some of your cohorts.
We are really looking forward to it and being part of it. We've had a lot of activities that we've been able to participate in, but that'll be our first formal meeting.
Very good. Now, how did you get interested in becoming Yellow Ribbon? And do you have some senior executives that's underwriting this program?
We do. We've been very fortunate. So actually, Annette reached out to us, but we had already had some senior leader support for a long time around military in the organization. And based on that senior leadership support back in 2014, we started our military employee resource group called MERGE. And so we had a good foundation when Annette came to us and said, do you want to get involved in this? So our specific to MERGE, what we do is we provide awareness, support, and leadership for our Ecolab veterans. Those are currently serving in the military and those impacted by military service. And so that served as our foundation. And we were able to, based on some of the work that we had done relative to MERGE, build our plan in conjunction with Annette. She held our hand. And we have a really great plan to be able to move forward and work out our Yellow Ribbon obligations and responsibilities.
So, Rachel, when you joined Ecolab, did they make you aware of the MERGE, of the military network within Ecolab, and were they welcoming to you?
Absolutely. Yep. In fact, Lisa was actually my first boss when I came to Ecolab, and immediately she had already known that I was a veteran and reached out and said, oh my goodness, here's all the information for our MERGE employee resource group. We hope that you become a member and you'll have, you know, various opportunities to volunteer and really make a difference within the community as well.
So that helped you get acclimated to the Ecolab?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Lisa, how many veterans are to work at Ecolab?
So we only can track the people that indicate to us that they are veterans. And right now we have 2,600 in the United States that have been identified.
Who voluntarily identified.
Right, who voluntarily identified. Okay. We can ask, so.
Now, since you were the lead, Lisa, what commitments did Ecolab have to make to become a Yellow Ribbon company?
Well, there's several aspects. Part of it is that leadership support, which I mentioned earlier, we've had since the beginning, even before becoming a Yellow Ribbon company. A lot of it is being able to support our internal network of associates and then some external community as well. So we do all kinds of things relative to recognizing our own veterans. For example, on Memorial Day, we'll place flags at our key campuses. And so this year, we placed flags, 407 flags to represent the 407,000 casualties from World War II. We've participated in Reuse Across America for the last several years, and every year our participation, not only with volunteers, but the number of Reuse that we've placed has grown. We do all kinds of things, so it's really very rewarding.
So, Rachel, does Ecolab also made a commitment to hire more veterans?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's one of our best practices for sure is military recruitment. Ecolab strives and is continually striving to become the destination for the world's most capable talent. And a lot of that talent comes from hiring the right people. We've spent a lot of time and energy around military recruitment because we believe that veterans hold a unique set of capabilities and diversity of thought that would fit really well within our organization. We've gone to several military recruiting events throughout the country, and we've partnered with many military recruiting agencies to help us effectively and efficiently identify those veterans who would be a good fit for our culture.
So, Rachel, having served in the military, would you say that it's pretty easy to put in a good hard day's work at Ecolab, especially when you're not out at war and somebody's shooting at you?
You know, the environments are certainly different. It's not without its challenges, of course, and but I'm hopefully, you know, able to identify what I bring to the table from my military experience over into the corporate world.
And Lisa, that must carry over. A lot of your veterans understand, as long as they know what it is they're supposed to do, when they're supposed to be there, and what job they want done, they pretty well dig in and take care of it, don't they?
Yeah, and Tom, if I could add and kind of build upon what Rachel said around our recruiting, part of what we've done to educate our leaders, so we created interview guides, if you will, that help our leaders translate when someone's coming from the military, how the role that they played in the military then translates to work within Ecolab. We've given them questions to ask that are different than maybe your normal interviewing questions. We have a landing page for our military recruits to take a look at relative to Ecolab. So we've taken a lot of steps to try and prepare and to make sure that people are comfortable during the interview process, but also they're comfortable when they come into Ecolab.
And certainly the military has its own language and a lot of acronyms.
And so, I've learned a lot personally.
So to translate that into English and determine how that applies to the language of Ecolab is a good thing to get done.
And I think that's actually one of the biggest gaps that we faced early on. We actually belong to the Twin Cities Military Network here, which is several companies within the cities that get together and learn each other from best practices. And part of the feedback that we heard during that time was, hey, we're not doing a good job of translating what military people are bringing to the organizations. And so that's something that Ecolab took away from that and developed.
Very good. Ladies, we have to take a short break. When I come back, we're going to talk more about our 66 Yellow Ribbon Company, Ecolab. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to our 66th Yellow Ribbon Company here in Minnesota, Ecolab. And in the studio today is Lisa Albright and Rachel Burkhoff. And Rachel, I want to come to you. We've heard about your military support group within Ecolab, and I'm sure that you've got some Guard and reservists that maybe have been called to duty and had to deploy. What does Ecolab do to support them and their families?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are well aware and we understand that we have associates at Ecolab who are also military service members and have a duty to fulfill to their country. Many service members at one point or another have to leave for a period of time for deployment or training. And because of this, we've created the Deployment Support Group, which provides resources on related Ecolab policies and guidance on family readiness. We also provide a list of resources that can assist with certain things like lawn care, snow removal, grocery delivery, or even emotional support services for those families.
So that all fits in with Annette's efforts to create Yellow Ribbon communities and Yellow Ribbon companies. Sometimes the simplest things of a spouse is home with the children and doesn't have time to get her hair done, or maybe just another adult to come over and have a cup of coffee. Some of those things, Annette, are really important to the families of our deployed.
Support is just amazing for our service members and their family members.
So, Rachel, have you been involved in personally in supporting some of the families of your associates, you call them, at Ecolab?
I've been involved with helping some of the associates who are actually deploying and creating some of the conversations between their managers and their teams as well, and making sure the teams know what the service member is going to need and what it's going to mean for them as well when they're gone, and the type of things that we need to do to cover down in that person's absence.
Well spoken. Spoken like a captain in the Army. That's Lisa. Now, I think I saw you at an Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve banquet recently. Were you there?
We were there. Thank you for asking. So kind of building upon what Rachel just said, we have had a lot of success through supporting our deployed associates, where several of them have actually nominated leaders in our organization, as well as the organization itself, for different awards. So the Pro Patria Award, the Patriot Award through the ESGR. But we've actually had close to a half dozen nominations for the Freedom Award, which is the highest level of award you can get from the Department of Defense. And really, it's based on those associates feeling like they're supported when they're gone.
And, of course, the ESGR, the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve, couldn't be thankful enough for employers who understand that our Guard and Reserve serve our country and sometimes have to deploy. But even beyond that, for supporting the families while they're off defending the country and doing their missions. So to Eagle Lab, my hat's off to you for doing a great job to support your associates and their families and for being a great community partner with all the other ESGR companies.
Thank you.
Now, we just got about a minute left. Are there other community events that you wanted to share with us today, Lisa?
Well, we have several things going on throughout the year. I think what we'd like to do is be able to thank Annette for her partnership, because I think we weren't sure what was involved in becoming Yellow Ribbon Company. And now that we've had this opportunity in partnering with her, it was really great. And we're very excited to be part of it now.
Well, ladies, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's Lisa Albright and Captain Rachel Burkhoff. Annette, another great Yellow Ribbon Company. You got more coming. I can't wait to see who's coming next.
Yes, we do. We have Ecolab has really led the way for neighboring companies to really join our Yellow Ribbon Company program, and we're very excited to have some new companies coming up that are in the action plan process.
So are we still working on communities as well as companies, or are you re-energizing all those communities you started?
Yes, our Yellow Ribbon Regional Outreach Coordinators are doing a great job across the state getting our community networks, and of course our companies like Ecolab are connecting in with those community networks. Recently, Ecolab just did a wonderful event with our St. Paul Yellow Ribbon Network. They hit the ground running with our St. Paul Yellow Ribbon Community Network, and it's a great partnership.
And Annette, I always get emails from Chuck Haas up at the Hugo Yellow Ribbon. They do an amazing job of supporting the families and sending care packages to our deployed troops.
It really shows what a community can do when they come together, and Hugo is a great example of that.
They pull together, and they pull together well, so I hope it continues. And thanks for bringing in another great company, Ecolab, our 66th Yellow Ribbon Company on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Director Patrick Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me back.
Director, September is Suicide Awareness Month, and I know that's one of the items that you and the VA Secretary hold high in on your things to do.
Yeah, it's actually the Secretary's number one clinical priority, and he... There was a recent executive order the president signed to get sort of cross federal government and community relations to address what has been a really difficult issue to make to impact. And so yeah, it's our number one priority. This has been this month is the Suicide Prevention Month here at the VA. And so every day we have an activity going on, and booths, displays, that kind of thing. But it's really intended to raise awareness for a problem that is difficult, and we continue to struggle with it, and it's something that's hugely important. So it's a big focus of our VA and really every VA.
And Director, I hear that a lot of my fellow Vietnam veterans are having issues with this, especially as they retire and start and have time to think about what they went through.
Yeah, there's a lot of really, Tom, across the Vietnam veterans are our largest group of service members that were sort of that era is the core era, but even the OEF veterans, the younger veterans, you know, it's an issue really across all age groups, and something that sometimes it's just a matter of not being connected. It's a matter of not having the right support or support services, and it's something that we think we can really provide, or at least help provide for veterans, families, communities. Your group, the Vietnam era veterans, are one group that's the suicide rates are unacceptable. They're just too high.
I agree, sir. And one of the things we've talked about in the past is watch your veteran. If there's a change, if they're acting moody, if they're having troubles, ask them if they're having troubles. Get them out to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. You can help.
Yeah, we have initiated what's referred to as a Be There campaign, and really the effort, Tom, is to enlist everybody's help. And so, and your advice is exactly right. If you think someone's having a struggle, it is helpful to ask them about that. Ask them directly. Are you thinking about hurting yourself? And if they are, you know, take, to the extent that you can, take ownership of that. Get them to the VA hospital. Get them to an emergency room. Get them somewhere where they can get the help that they need. And try to stay with them. Try to be encouraging. but also take it seriously, because it is something that frequently veterans don't want to talk about it. You know, there's a stigma associated with all of this, of course, and so to the extent that they open up to you and they get an opportunity to make a difference, it really does make a difference for you to ask that question and then to help them through it.
Director, I understand that Governor Walz and Commissioner Larry Herkey were out at your facility to discuss suicide prevention as well.
Yeah, we had a great visit. You know, we have an opportunity, I think, in our state. You know, we in the VA have a lot of mental health resources. We have, you know, over 400 staff in our medical center and 13 clinics, all of which provide mental health services. But you know, as we have talked about on your show, Tom, you know, 14 of the 20 veterans who take their lives every day are not getting care through the VA or really any mental health care. So our governor, who is very committed to military issues, was when he was a congressman, continues to be very committed as the governor, along with Commissioner Herkey. You know, they are passionate about this issue as we are passionate. So I think the state can maybe open up some opportunities for us, some shared services, maybe some campaigns where we get reach into areas where we previously haven't sort of gotten to, in order to identify those veterans with the greatest need. And again, with the governor's commitment, and he is very committed. It was is evident, and it was evident yesterday when he was here talking to our mental health staff and veterans. That creates an opportunity, I think, in our state that is maybe rare and maybe not that available in most places, because no governor is more committed to veterans issues than Governor Walz.
Director, we've just got about a minute left, but every time I talk to you, I find out that you're not only working with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, you're working with MACV, you're working with the County Veterans Service Officers. There's really a huge cooperative effort here in Minnesota to take care of our veterans.
Yeah, we're lucky in this state in many ways. I mean, we our network of 87 county veteran service officers, our MACV, you know, the MACV here in the Twin Cities and across the state is really terrific under Neil Loyalt's leadership. So there are enough committed agencies, federal and really companies too, Beyond Yellow Ribbon companies and others who are trying to help veterans and are interested in doing that and committed to doing it. So yeah, we're lucky to live in Minnesota in many ways. We have some advantages other states don't have, but it's really an all-hands effort.
Very good, sir. We're just about out of time. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Mike Anderson, Lisa Albright, Rachel Beckoff, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about veteran legislative issues from the last session and learn about the Commander's Task Force. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.